Good evening, this is Gijs Minderhout. It is Wednesday evening, almost 6 o'clock Pacific time. And the date is May 24, 2017. Another conference call on the Wednesday evening, meaning if you have questions, we have answers. You can submit your questions per email to win. Thank you all for being here. This is as usual a simulcast for the conference call. We have several people here on the phone line. Welcome to you all. And I give you all an opportunity to say your name and location. And Omay is here. Dermananda is here. Who else?
Good evening, Hans.
From Sacramento.
There's two people. I think I heard Jeannie. Jeannie, is it you? No, it's Cleo.
Cleo, yes. Hi.
Oh, I recognize your voice. All right. Welcome. And who was this from Sacramento?
Yeah, Pat from Sacramento.
Hi, Pat. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you.
And also John from Vegas.
Good evening, John. Welcome to the call.
Hi.
Anyone else? All right. Thank you all for being here. And I welcome those who are listening in through BBS Radio online. All right. So, as usual, on the Wednesday evening, we will have a question and answer session, a live channeling to Terry Brown. I welcome the next caller on the phone line. Thank you for being here. Please share name and location.
Melissa in California.
Hello, Melissa. Good evening and welcome.
Thank you very much.
All right. Well, it is for sure summer over here. We are getting into the three digits here in Northern California. So all those that are joining in online through BBS Radio, we welcome you. Participating and welcome the next caller on the phone line. Welcome, please say your name and location. But only if you want to, we welcome you. Joni, are you here? I don't think so. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say a name and location.
Hi, it's Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, how's everybody?
Good evening to you, Don. Welcome to the call.
Thanks.
All right. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say a name and location.
Hello, this is Terry in Dallas.
Hello, Terry in Dallas. Hello. Welcome to the call.
Hi, guys.
Good evening to you. Good evening, welcome. Please share your name and location.
Hi, it's Jeannie in Citrus Heights, California.
Hello, Jeannie. Good evening and welcome to the call.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you for being here. And those that are joining in online, we cannot hear you, we cannot see you, but we are glad that you participate with this gathering. Thank you for being here. Good evening, welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, Susan in Michigan.
Good evening to you, Susan. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Welcome to the next caller. Please say your name and location.
It's Roger in Austin.
Hello, Roger. Good evening. Welcome.
Good evening.
More people have joined in. Welcome to you all. If you have a chance, please say your name and location.
Welcome and greetings from Arizona.
Happy greetings to you, Raiden.
Thank you.
Wells Journey, and please say your name and location. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hey, this is Bonnie in Corona, California.
Hello, Bonnie. Good to hear your voice.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Bonnie.
Hi.
Hello. Bonnie. Hi. So glad to be here.
All right.
This is Terry in Sedona.
Hello, Terry.
Hi.
Hi, Terry.
Hi there.
Hi, Terry.
Hi, Terry.
I'm debating, sweetheart.
Hi.
Are you staying in your human body?
Yep.
And are
My
you drinking water?
Going up. Yep.
Oh, good. Have some food, too.
Terry, I just talked to Aaron. He's only a couple of blocks away from me. He's from St. Louis. I can't think of his last name right now. He said, say congratulations to Terry with her good health.
All right. Great. Yeah. I got my hemoglobin results today, and it went up another half a point. That's
all right.
9.3 now.
9.3 already. Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Awesome. All right. We had more people join in. Welcome to the call. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Hey, it's Chris in Memphis.
Hi, Chris. Good evening. Welcome.
Hey, thanks, guys.
All right. Hello, Wynn.
Hi, it's Wynn in Sedona.
Welcome to the call. Thank you for being here, Wynn, and for doing what you are doing, especially for taking care of our beautiful sister, Terry Brown.
Yes.
Yes, thank you.
Yes.
Nothing more than she completely deserves.
Good evening, welcome. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Richard in Maryland.
Hi, Richard. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you all for being here. We are live on BBS Radio. Also, those online, thank you so much for being here. Thank you, Wynn. Thank you, Terry. And I'm going to turn off the ding. The dings are gone. And Wynn, can I mute the phone lines and get the recorder going, or do you want to keep it open?
No, we can do it. Terry, are you settled? Terry, are you settled?
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Terry, are you settled?
I'll be settled in 2 minutes.
We settled in a few minutes. Hurry up. The world is waiting. Okay.
Terry, take all your time you need.
So it's so hard to find good help.
All right, Ben. So we'll wait for the recording.
I'll start talking anyway.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves. This conference is being recorded.
This is May 24th, 2017. And Wynn and Terry in Sedona. And we were just talking before the call started that Terry kind of hit another milestone. A positive milestone today, where she had some of you are tracking this. She's been having blood tests, and that she had this stuff in her bone marrow, and the bone marrow is what produces blood. I never knew that, but I learned it. And her bone marrow was not producing blood, hemoglobin. So they would do a test on her, and it would keep declining and declining and declining. And every 3 or 4 weeks, she was needing a blood transfusion. So last week, actually it was right after the session Kimberly did on her, she had another blood test, and for the first time, there was one other time when this happened, and I wasn't sure if it was a fluke, because it immediately went down again. So for the first time, her hemoglobin count was up. And then she had another blood test Monday, 2 to 3 days ago, and the blood count was up again. And of course, symptomatically, she's acting more like her old self. I'm sure most of you are listening to her voice and tracking her voice, and you know when she's her low energy going. And, you know, at her worst, she was having trouble standing on her feet. And then it started to improve, and then she would get really tired early. And her energy has kind of been sustaining. So it's looking really good. Now, what did we do to make this happen? We did a lot of things, and we have to still keep doing them, okay, to make sure. You know, the way I have learned about cancer is that now, there could be an exception to this, but I don't want to make pretend that Terry's an exception until I absolutely am sure. Because when you get cancer, you have, even when it seems to go away, it can come back with a vengeance, particularly with chemotherapy, according to what I've studied. Because chemotherapy does kill the cancer, so it reduces the symptoms of it. But it doesn't kill the stem cells that are producing the cancer. And they will very likely continue to produce cancer, and then the cancer becomes resistant to the drugs. So oftentimes people do chemotherapy and it keeps them going for 2-3 years, maybe 4 years, maybe 5 years. But eventually the cancer comes back and they can't get rid of it. So one needs a constant regimen of immune-boosting things to keep the cancer contained. And particularly if you're doing chemotherapy, because that actually reduces your chances of survival in the long run. So what have we been doing? And I'm going to write this up, because some of it's very cheap. And who knows, maybe some of these things would have worked without Kimberly, okay? But Kimberly was a big turning point, because it was right after Terry saw Kimberly, and Terry felt energy moving in her when she saw Kimberly. It was right after that that she had the blood test where the count went up. But she's also been taking vitamin C IVs. And a lot of people endorse that. You have to go to it is kind of expensive. And we couldn't have been able to afford this without the donations everyone's been making. But a vitamin C IV is where they put an IV in your arm and they drip vitamin C into your system. And we just got something in the mail today, which we're going to check out, because there's a company saying they had an oral vitamin C that was as good or better than an IV drip. And I don't believe anyone has ever said that before. I have to study them more, but I just bought some instantly so we could try it out. But Terry has noticed every time she had an IV drip, she felt better. Am I right, Terry?
Yeah, and before that, I had a cough that wouldn't go away. And so I take 3 grams of
grams of vitamin C, and that would go away for 2 hours, and then I take three more, and go away for a couple hours, and then it would come back, and I take three more. So I was taking a whole lot by mouth. Lynn got the most wonderful vitamin C from the health food store, and that was working. He went in, and he said, "What's your best vitamin C?" And this is what they gave him, and it's been working. It worked a miracle with my cough.
Yeah, so the vitamin C, and another thing, the first thing we started taking, and vitamin C came up as one of the best things for her to take, to do.
Yeah.
On that extensive test we took, okay? And another thing we've been taking, in fact, the very first thing we started taking was a product from a company called doTERRA. It's called DDR Prime. And I think the active ingredient, that's kind of expensive, but the active ingredient was frankincense. And if you look up frankincense and cancer, you'll see it's something that's good for cancer. And then another thing we're doing is we were doing SEFT. We have to get that started again, okay? She was using it and she liked it. But was that creating, say, for example, as fast a response as the vitamin C, which had an immediate boost, an immediate shift? And then another product we're taking, and this is a good one to remember. I'm going to send out this whole thing so you guys can keep it up. It's just something called naltrexone. And this is a drug that's made for helping people get off of addictions. And it does something with your endorphins. But in the 1980s, someone started experimenting with low doses of this drug, and they were healing cancer. Like 60% of the people were getting improvements. And it works for a lot of other things as well. And I can't remember all the things it works for. But you can look it up on the internet. Now, naltrexone, actually look up low-dose naltrexone. Low-dose naltrexone cancer, low-dose naltrexone Alzheimer's, I think, was one of the things. And amazing amount of people are putting posts up. See, there's forums everywhere on the internet, internet forums, where people want to share things with other people. And people, those are fairly trustworthy. They may not be. Somebody could be faking things. But in general, people, when they have something that works for them, they want to share it for other people. So there's all kinds of testimonials for naltrexone. And then there was one guy on YouTube that was raving about mangosteen juice saving him from stage 4 cancer. So we've been buying mangosteen juice. We've been taking anise spirulina. And we have things lined up still to take, but
I'm very slow at adopting something new, so I get something situated and then I take it all the time.
Yeah.
But then I add something new.
The thing is, she can oftentimes feel if something's working right away. She can feel it. Okay.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, there's this aspect of all this where she could be, it may take Something may be really good, but it takes a long time to kick in. And that's easier to miss. I'm sure there's some of the stuff that's like that. But you have to take it on faith. But my point of view is to do everything you can, everything that other people have noted, and let her evaluate them one by one. And many of you have sent me emails saying, Wynn, try this, try that. You know, Ty Bollinger. Listen to him. And we have actually evaluated so many things. There's so many things. I mean, it's like you can almost pick something. Here. Celery. Wheatgrass juice. Well, you can pick anything. You can pick carrot juice. And there's a whole bunch of people that said they got cured from cancer just from drinking carrot juice. And I have the idea that there's a lot to do with cancer that has to do with one's positive energy. What do you think, Terry? Think that's true?
Yeah, I think so.
You know, what I notice is that, you know, people come into a healing modality. It's like a doctor has everybody in these chairs doing drips, five or six people, and they all start talking to each other. And so there's a community there. It's a positive energy. The Gerson diet has people going out into living together, and they feed them all this really healthy food for a month or two. And they get people better. So I think that part of it is the community that they're creating. And part of Terry's healing, I think, is allowing herself to be accepted. And this is a community. We have a community. We don't go out and eat together. And we're not all in the same city. And someday we'll do what Carla used to do, where they have a weekend once a month for all the people to come out and have a retreat and have a lot of fun connecting with each other, okay? So now look, I looked up celery and cancer, all right? Many foods have a number of health benefits, while others stand above the rest as disease-fighting wonders. Celery is one of them. The food has been found to be extremely effective at killing ovarian, pancreatic, prostate, breast, liver, and lung cancer cells. In fact, in recent studies, celery killed up to 86% of cancer cells in the lungs in vitro. Okay, so I'm just pointing out, okay, researchers in China found that by eating the two medium stalks of celery two or three times a week and reduced the risk of getting lung cancer by 60%. So try it. Try potato cancer. I mean, I can't even think of anything that's not working for somebody. Hardly, you know, except sugar. Sugar is the one thing. Everyone says if you have cancer, you don't drink sugar, okay? But in any case,
Edgar Cayce suggested eating three raw almonds every day.
I remember that. Well, I think that was for B17, Laetrile.
I don't think he specified that, but
I think that's true. I think almonds have Laetrile in them. Okay?
Those were bitter almonds, but the ones today are not bitter. better use apricot kernels.
Yeah.
But.
Okay, thank you for clarifying. Okay. All right. Now, let us get on. Oh, another product is really cheap. By the way, naltrexone. You know, whatever problem you have, you should look up naltrexone. Like neuropathy, I think that they came up working for. Another product that's really cheap is called Cell Food. And it's $20 for a little bottle of drops. And my friend Roger, who has been in alternative health for 30 years, and he's quite credible, he keeps track on everything. He told me that everyone who he recommended Cell Food to, and it's like those little bottles with a dropper, and you put 10 drops or 5 drops in water, and for cancer, you go up to 100 drops. And Terry is now starting to do that, adding it to her regimen. It's called Cell Food, one word. It's available in health food stores. I can't even remember why it works, but
it's
got
minerals in it.
Yeah, but it's more than that. It's got to have something. But, you know, if you study it enough on the Internet, you can figure out why it works. And there's loads and loads of testimonials. And it doesn't just work for cancer. Somehow, it oxygenates the blood, as I recall. Okay.
And when the naltrexone you were talking about earlier, does it require a doctor's prescription or not?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
So if you're going to go to your regular doctor, make sure he'll prescribe it. Because it's only FDA approved for addictions, all right? It's not approved for cancer or anything else. But there's a buzz going around doctors, medical community, about this. And most liberal doctors will prescribe it. And before you go to your doctor and set an appointment up, look for some of the credible information online and fax it to them or email it to them and just have them agree in advance that he'll prescribe it before you make an appointment, okay? All right, on that note, let's get started, okay? Because I know Terry's not ready. You're not ready, are you, Terry?
No, I'm never ready for channeling because... I never know what they're going to say or what people are going to ask.
There's a funny question here tonight, which I will share with you. I have a funny answer for myself, but we'll see what they say. All right. I think we're recording. Are we recording, Hines? We are.
Yes, right? We are.
Okay. All right. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of light. Surround and protect each person on this line, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted to the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy field of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. We create a protective space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
Yes. We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. It is our joy to be with you. This is a sacred moment in time. when we are able to connect with our brothers and sisters in the third density. And we give you credit for finding this. If we ever say anything that does not resonate with you, then disregard it, because it doesn't apply to you at that time. We are glad to be of assistance where we can. We come directly to you. We do not come through the computer or the telephone lines. Do you have questions?
Yes, we do. This is from Jerry LaBarbera in Dallas, Texas. I always thought that it is the Holy Spirit working with me while doing healing work, and was taught through Huna that I had a team of healing angels working with me in my shamanic practices. The energy of the Elohim on and off our calls feels the same to me. My question is, can you give me any information as to my team? And I think she's implying that maybe the Elohim is part of her team. Thank you.
We are available to be a part of your team. You have angels that are a part of your team. We stand by, and when there is something that we can contribute or something that the angels ask us to lend a hand, or particularly to hold the energy when your team is working, we are with you on that basis.
Thank you. Next question is from Art Franklin. And where is Art? He's in Virginia. He's in Hampton, Virginia. And on Friday, on August 2009, I had a stroke that left me 100% dizzy since then. It is gradually getting worse. Do I have any karmic issues, or are the issues purely neurological from the stroke, which is causing this dizziness problem? And do you have any suggestions on how to overcome it?
Thank you. Give us a moment. We see that it is partly neurological. There are some costs. We are isolating it out. Costs. Neurological lines. One of the things that might help is if you would find a practitioner that knows a lot about lasers and about the neurological pathways in the body that can go in and re-guide those pathways so they are not crossed. Give us a minute. We would say that a lot of this is neurological. It is a problem in focusing properly and succinctly and the neurological aspect is creating signals that lead to double focusing, which is creating dizziness.
Was that double focusing in the eyes?
No. The focusing of the neurological pathways, the focusing in the brain, there are double signals and they are confused with each other.
Uh-huh.
If you do pursue finding someone with a laser, they need to be expert in the knowledge of the neurological pathways, and the proper person would be able to tell what areas need to be straightened out.
Would that be a traditional doctor or an alternative doctor that would do that?
It would be an alternative doctor that would have use of the laser and know how to use it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So things like the photon genie probably would not do anything for this.
Yes.
Or the violet ray.
Give us some. Particularly after a treatment to straighten out the pathways, the photon genie would be excellent to reinforce and put in place and anchor the pathways. We see the work that you have done with others, and your work is much appreciated and loved.
You're talking about the work that Art's done there?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. All right. I just want to clarify, when you said the photon genie, would that be something that would he would benefit from after somebody that works the lasers puts
yes.
things in place?
To anchor it in place.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. Next question is from Don Herman. And Don, if you don't mind, I'll answer this a little bit. What was actually going on with Edgar Cayce when he fell asleep that allowed him to connect with sources and channel their information? Thank you, Don Herman. you know, I know this sounds like a great mystery, and it used to sound that way to me as well. And after being around Terry and Daphne and starting to get dream messages and Carla Rucker, I kind of get somewhat the feel of it. And I want to just talk about dream messages, okay? Because when I was first with Daphne, and I asked them, how do I connect with the other dimensions I know I'm connected to? They said to write down my dreams. And at that point, I put a pad by my bed and a pen in my hand, and I said, okay, I'm going to wake up every time I have a dream. And so I did wake up, and I found that I was having a phenomena. It was as if I was daydreaming, and I was aware of my daydream, but it wasn't a dream. It was a voice, and it was like I was thinking my own thoughts. That's what it felt like, and I would write down whatever the thought was in my mind at the time. And normally, I would not even think of writing it down because it just felt like a daydream. And when I wrote them down and looked at them, I found messages that it was connected to the rock group. And it blew my mind because I was kind of experiencing what it felt like. Some of you may have had this experience where you are just in neutral, meditative, and then you hear a voice in your head. And, you know, in the Law of One, it's you talking to you. So it feels like you. It feels like you're thinking it up. But then you look at the message, and it doesn't seem like what you would normally think of, even though at that moment it seems like it. I know Terry and Daphne both have this feeling they're making it up. And that until they review what they said, then, and I said, geez, I couldn't have made that up. Until that happens, even now, when we do Whole Planet Healing, and we read little excerpts from Terry, and suddenly she says, I said that? So let me turn it over to our sources and see what they say.
Could you repeat the question?
Yeah, I knew you were going to ask me to do that, okay? Well, the question is, what was actually going on with Edgar Cayce when he fell asleep that allowed him to connect the sources and channel their information?
Thank you. When he would fall asleep, he was able to get his conscious mind out of the way, which allowed his sources to come through him without having his conscious mind interrupt or interfere. So it was a way of coming through without his conscious mind bringing its own thoughts in to the situation, and his team was able to come through directly, purely.
Mm-hmm. And why is it Terry doesn't have to fall asleep the channel, for example?
David doesn't have to fall asleep to channel either. Terry has the ability to set everything aside and to tune in, like a radio tunes in to a station, to tune into the frequency, our frequencies. And we are able to come in, and then Terry stands to the side and is with us, but she does not interfere.
Thank you. This is Dennis from Livermore, and this is Valerie's father. Hi, Dennis. We're going to have the whole family here. He says that Valerie has got me curious about Terry and the Elohim. Scientists have yet to explain the beginning of the universe. They say it started from a bundle of energy. So my question is, where did this energy come from? How did it start? Thank you, and I look forward to listening to your program. Dennis.
Thank you. Welcome. When the universe started, before the universe started, there was one, the one infinite creator, and the one infinite creator is a part of everything. So the one infinite creator was simply existing, but really wasn't making any pictures, it had an awareness, but there was nothing to be aware of. And there had to be two for life to start. There had to be two. There has to be two for something to be heard. The person that is putting it out and the person that is hearing it. The human body is made up of many molecules, organs, all working synergistically together. So at the beginning, we are saying all is vibration. So at the beginning, it was started a vibration. This is like a Zen question, of which it is very hard to find an answer. How did everything start from nothing? It didn't all start at once. It started with the tiniest of a vibration. And then when there was one vibration vibrating, it began to focus energy, take energy to create the vibration. And then the energy it had awareness, and it had the awareness that it could move back and forth, it could vibrate, and then that there could be other vibrations. So then the one infinite creator learned how to make more than one vibration at a time. And when the vibrations came together, it was like a big bang. two vibrations colliding. And things develop vibrationally from there. So it started with what might be said as nothing, no manifest universe, no manifest reality. And it started with a vibration. And
I have a question.
Go ahead.
When you talk about a vibration or a frequency, you're talking about, say, cycles per second. That is the way vibrations are measured, okay?
That's correct.
Well, when we talk about cycles per second, we're talking about seconds.
You're starting to have time when you have that.
Now, if you're in 3D, you have cycles per second, and it's a measurement of time. The beginning of the universe, when there was no time, you have to create
it
time.
It began to... Time was created as part and parcel of the vibration.
Okay, so the frequency created time.
Yes.
As well as being the frequency, okay?
Yes, and space, too.
Yeah, and space. So it was all one creation. Like, it wasn't like you created frequency. The frequency, it's very hard to put your mind around. How do you create time and frequency at the same time? But you,
it's all part and parcel of the same thing.
That's the Zen question. And the other question is, and I've always said this is a mystery that can't be solved. I may as well just put it out. How did the one infinite, how did this awareness develop out of nothingness of the one infinite creator?
It learned from a glitch. It learned that it could create a vibration. And then something existed. Before that, there was just an awareness, but there was nothing to even be aware of. Because there was nothing.
Yes. Okay, I'll work on that some more. It's one of those paradoxes or dualities where all and nothing are right next to each other as part of being the same thing, yes?
Yes.
That doesn't mean I understand it, because it's a duality where two opposites exist. But eventually that awareness, and it didn't think of itself as God, and it probably didn't even know it could create. But there was no time. So by the time it started creating, it would have had to appear like it always knew. Am I right?
Like what?
Like it always knew. Because there was no time. So how do you say it? There was no time. So awareness.
No, there was no time, no space. There was only the potential for awareness.
Yeah. Okay, let me ask another question before we run out of time. We have a question here from Paul Anderson in Wildomar, California. And let me just say that Rick and Anna in Connecticut about your horse. Could you ask them again next week, please? I want to say...
Is Rick and Anna, is this the horse?
I'm not going to ask that. Well, I'll tell you what. If Anna's on the call after we close, well, we got to go to the whole planet healing.
We send off to the horse. We surround that horse with love.
she really feels bad, like she made a mistake. She wants to get the horse back. But
the horse is like a person, like a child. It is very intelligent.
Yeah. Let me ask this question for Paul Anderson. In Wildomar, California, in a dream about a year ago, I saw my wife sitting at a table in a restaurant on top of the Space Needle in Seattle. It was touching because I saw her not in the flesh, but in the spirit. It gives me much comfort and love when I think about it. Can you tell me why I was shown this, or did I already figure it out? Why did he have this dream with his wife?
You're much in love with your wife and want the best for her. It was a dream to go to the top of the Space Needle. It is a vision point, a takeoff point. From high up.
Okay. Thank you. Time for final comments, and then we're going to jump over to Whole Planet Healing.
We love Felvery's father's question. Thank you. It
Thank
is
you.
A question that many have asked. It is a struggle to find out. How can there be? But there is. We love you all.
Dennis, you might go. This is just talking to Dennis, Valerie's father. You know, we have a page up of our archives, and it's on. It's called thespiritchannel.com. I think it's .com. If that doesn't work, go to .net. Okay, thespiritchannel.net. And at the top of the page, it says topics. And one of the topics is how the Elohim created the universe. And we've had about 20 calls with them and going into the fine points of how that works. And it's fascinating because, you know, even as we've talked about that this evening, it triggers your mind into wrapping yourself around something that is not easy to wrap around, okay? Because it's not linear 3D constructs. And if you read it enough, you might start wrapping your mind around it and get like, aha. But don't expect to go to a scientist and explain it to them because they are operating in 3D, where time is a fixed parameter, and so